Oh, Judy's back on the radio with fascinating and interesting people. And I have a gal in here with me this afternoon I've known for a long time. Of course, most of these people I talk to I've known for a long time. Dana Bailey. Mm-hmm. How are you, Dana?
I'm great this afternoon. How are you, Judy?
Oh, I'm just perking right along, you know.
Great.
Sometimes my percolator gets out of whack and I have to kind of regroup, but I'm doing good and I'm delighted that you would take the time out of your busy days, and I know all of your days are busy, and come in the studio here and talk with me this afternoon. So if the name Rogers isn't well known in this town of Cookeville and in the Upper Cumberland area, then there's no name, because you are a product of...
I am a local girl.
You sure?
I was born over at Cookeville Regional and have grown up here. I'm well into my 50s, and my folks were local business folks. So,
oh, we got to tell people what they
okay.
did.
My parents owned Rogers Carpet Center, and they were in business for 47 years. Their opening day actually was the day Kennedy was assassinated.
Oh, my word.
That's how I remember it.
63, November
yes.
the 23rd.
I don't know the date.
You
yeah.
don't remember.
Yeah.
1963, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I may be wrong. Maybe it was
yeah.
62.
So
I'm
they,
not sure.
Yeah, they closed. You know, obviously everyone kind of left what they were doing and everything stopped at that moment in time.
This is true.
Moment in time, but it was historical on many levels for my life.
I bet it was.
Yeah, yeah.
I was sitting in junior English class at Cookeville High School.
It was the earliest memory that I have. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Then you would have been a tiny little
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I was. I was two and a half, three.
Yeah.
yeah.
And nobody did anything for the rest. I mean, you know, we sat
right.
in totals. Everybody thought
yeah.
it didn't matter whether you were Democratic or Republican.
Right, no,
that didn't
matter
make any
at
difference
all.
At that
yeah.
point. Because a very charismatic mm-hmm. president, just to hear the word, died at mm-hmm. 103 or whatever
right.
time it was. That
I
was,
mean,
that
and
was,
in those days, people kept the picture of the president in their home.
Absolutely.
To remind them to pray for them, you know, and to support them in
and
any
I'm
way they could.
I'm not so sure that wouldn't be a bad thing.
It would be a good thing today, too.
Today we need something, you know, yeah. to help with this country,
yeah.
what, or
yeah.
The world in general, what
yeah.
can I say? But
right.
anyway... Mom and Dad, I bought every carpet I guess I ever owned mm-hmm. and every carpet that was ever in my parents' house came from mm-hmm. Rogers Carpet. Mm-hmm. Down on Jefferson across the street from Hardee's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and mm-hmm. Williams Wholesale, the lighting supply right. place and plumbing supplies. So mm-hmm. I watched them build at Hardee's. I grew up sleeping on giant rolls of carpet in the back in the warehouse, and I was always interested in color. You know, I really gleaned a lot from that. Whether I realized
but you didn't
it or
go
not.
Into the business.
No, I didn't. My parents begged me not to.
Don't do this, Dana. I don't love it.
So
you went into the healthcare.
I did. You know, I was fortunate enough to be a first-generation college graduate in my family. My brother and I both. My parents were very generous in supporting us in that. And he became an architect, and I became a nurse.
An RN.
RN, yes.
Yes. And you raised... In some standards, a large family.
Yes, four children. Yep. One is a nurse practitioner. One is a web designer. The third one is a fine arts. She's a dance teacher and artist in her own right. And my son is electrical engineering.
Good grief.
Yeah.
You and your sweet husband, y'all done good.
Thanks. We're so proud
say,
of them. Yeah.
Well, you should be.
Yeah.
And now I have trouble visualizing you, and you've got grandchildren.
I do. I have six grandchildren. Can you believe it?
No. No, I can't,
yeah.
Dana, to be honest with you, because I still see you as the little girl sleeping
yeah.
in the back.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I'm not that much
You're
older than
that,
you. I'm
no.
old enough to be your mother, but not your grandmother.
Right.
But anyway, that was a wonderful place to go. And
it was.
I loved going into the carpet store. Until later in life, and then wasn't much later, but the dyes
yes.
started bothering my eyes. I had
mm-hmm.
the same problem in mm-hmm. fabric stores,
mm-hmm.
still do.
Right.
Even it's worse now. There's just
right.
things that
so
get worse
synthetics.
As you grow older.
Uh-huh.
You know, they droop, they sag, or they quit working. So, what can you do? You can't do much about it. Anyhow, so you go into nursing. You're Tennessee Tech did not have their School of
they
Nursing.
They were beginning the stages of accreditation for their nursing school. So at that time, I did interview several other colleges around the South. My husband, I was married my first year in college, after my first year in college. So I applied at Samford and Emory and LSU and in Houston.
Prestigious schools.
Houston, UT Memphis, and we landed where he could get a job after graduation in New Orleans. So LSU is where I went to nursing school.
Louisiana State University Nursing School.
Yes, and all of the medical aspect of their colleges is in New Orleans. It's not in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
So we lived there for 5 years.
Do you like that?
We did. We did. There were aspects of it that were a little raunchy.
A little?
But
oh,
we.
You saw me there, didn't you?
No. But we developed some lifelong friends there, got connected to a church there, and really grew a lot as young adults, you know, kind of launching our marriage and launching our adult life together. And we keep up with them even now. Years later, I think, let's see, 39 years.
We have
later.
Friends that we keep up with from college.
Yeah.
And that Dwight and I both went to Tennessee Tech. He's from Nashville, and of course, I'm from Cookeville. But we are tragically losing some of those dear friends now because we're getting a little long in the tooth. And it happens. You know, it's just that transition to the next.
Sure.
Life, which I obviously believe in heaven, and so that's where some of them have gone. But I still am in touch with one of the girls and have been all these years. She was in our wedding.
Oh.
We were in her wedding, and we, meaning my husband and I, because we married first. We all met at what used to be called the Baptist Student Union here at Tennessee
Tech. Yes, BSU. Uh-huh.
Yes, and now it's the Baptist Collegiate Ministry, I believe is what it's called. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you know, you can make lifelong friends.
Right.
And it's shame on you if you don't keep up with some of those people who lived through that time in your life.
Exactly.
I think friends are very important, obviously. Dwight and I are both only children.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah. And I know you are not an only child.
Right. But I don't believe in disposable relationships.
I like it. Disposable. Well, I don't believe in it either.
Yeah.
Talking with Dana Bailey today, an RN, among many things. Still an RN, always an RN. Mm-hmm. You married a local boy?
I did, David Bailey. In fact,
yes.
His parents owned the local Porter Paint Store.
I just love this when I see the next generation of people that I grew up. I mean, Jasper Bailey, one of my favorite people. The book he wrote, he autographed for me before he passed. Mm-hmm. He flew over the hump in World War II.
He did. He is a survivor of World War II, missing in action for over 2 weeks, I think, in the mountains of India.
Yes. And it was called the hump.
The hump. Yeah, that's what they called it. He was flying supplies over into China, I believe.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that story has always been a fascinating one.
And he wrote a book about it.
He did. He parachuted out. Only one other member of the plane survived. They pushed those two young men out, and then the plane went down with the rest of the crew. So
God was at work there.
Yeah, quite a harrowing story to tell.
And he wrote a book about it, and I'm fortunate enough to have that autographed copy that he gave
me. He was
a
writer. He wrote poetry as well as
and Miss Mary,
stories.
Your husband's mother?
Yes, we call her Grammy.
Grammy, that's
Grammy.
What my grandson's calling is Grammy. She's still alive.
She is.
See her I don't know how old she is, but
she's
I know
she's 92. She wouldn't mind me saying.
92.
Still
Go
driving.
Miss Mary. That's all I can say.
Yeah, still playing the piano at church.
Is she?
She is.
God love her at 92.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool to still be playing.
She has more energy than you and me put together.
I bet she does.
She does.
But she would have had to have to lived with Jasper.
That's true.
Because he was a little whirlwind himself.
He was.
Yeah. Well, now, I know there was a period of time where you worked at Cookeville Regional.
I did. I worked. I began
on the floor.
I went back into nursing. I did some, you know, part-time work. We call it PRN as nurses in a local doctor's office. And then my husband became ill in 2003, 2004 area, enough that he had to quit work. So I went back into the Went back to Vanderbilt, got my license renewed, and went back to work at Cookeville Regional in 2004.
And stayed there for how long?
I stayed there for 5 years, worked on 5 West, which is now 5 North in the new building, med-surg and pediatrics, and did some charge nursing there and really enjoyed my work there.
Well, more power to you. I was in pre-nursing.
Oh, okay.
For all of back years ago when tech was on the quarter system.
Right, quarters. I started on quarters.
Okay.
I did, yeah.
And my grandmother, God love her, quick story. Mm-hmm. Grandma got a gangrene leg.
Oh, goodness.
Had to have it amputated. Mm-hmm. And she had the phantom leg syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in that hospital room. Rubbing that phantom
yes.
leg, and she telling me how good it felt. I thought, Lord, I can't do this for the rest of my life. You know, there was no leg there. There
Bless
was a
her.
Stump on a pillow.
Yeah.
And I thought, I can't do this the rest mm-hmm. of my life. What, mm-hmm. you know, what, this isn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I have always admired and appreciated RNs, LPNs, mm-hmm. certified nurses, mm-hmm. assistants, anything had anything to do with helping people mm-hmm. that were ill or didn't feel well or
yeah.
whatever.
My mom has pictures of me at less than 2 years old with a little nursing outfit on. But it was almost like, and I was the Army nurse. I grew up in Park Village, for those of you that may know where Park Village is, with a neighborhood full of boys, very few girls.
Were you the Army nurse?
I was the Army nurse. And I sat under the oak tree with a sandbox, and they brought their wounded to me. So I really believe that the Lord was weaving my life together to be a caregiver all this whole time.
All this time.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Isn't
we're
that
talking
funny?
To Dana Bailey, and yes, it is funny. We're going to have to take a break here, and you folks listen to our sponsors, and we will be right back with Dana Rogers Bailey.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dana Rogers, and you mentioned earlier, Dana, about David, your husband, becoming ill enough to have to stop working. Well, that needs more explanation, even though I know what it is. Would you share with our audience about that?
I sure will. So in 2001, my husband began exhibiting signs of, he had some neurological signs of numbness, losing his balance, having some blurred vision, different things like that. So he went to our local practitioner, and he was sent immediately to a neurologist. And short story long of it, he was diagnosed with MS, and it was the month after
multiple
sclerosis, sorry. The month after 9/11, so that's how I keep up with that. All these major events.
Wow,
things that I can remember things by. Anyway, and he was able to work and carry on for several years, and then he began having grand mal seizures, which are like the most life-threatening seizures that you can have. And so, you know, some loss of memory, some other things that kind of forced us to decide that he needed to, you know, go ahead and retire, and we worked on his disability, and he began focusing his life on some other areas. And so that was a major adjustment for us. We homeschooled our children.
Yeah, four children. Who's had to take early retirement because of health reasons.
Right.
Wow.
Right. So it life threw us a curveball, you know.
I would say.
We homeschooled our kids for 22 years. I ran a very successful dance program that was kind of a ministry in town for homeschool students. And all of that had to shift and change, and priorities had to be renewed. And there was, you know, it was a huge adjustment. I will tell you, it was a pivotal point in my life and my faith, as well as David's. I will tell you, undoubtedly, he has more courage than any human being I've ever known. He really does. And he has weathered this storm with so much grace and so much faith and hope in the Lord, despite his body is failing him.
Yeah, he's wheelchair bound now, I believe.
He is sometimes. He still can walk with a walker in the house.
Okay.
But he has days where his legs just fail him. So never wavers in his belief that, you know, the Lord has us in his hands, that he's going to provide for us. And we've kind of stricken the word why from our vocabulary because it just keeps you all tangled up if you hang on to that and just wrestle with that over and over and over again. So we marched on. I shifted gears, you know, became the provider for the family, working full time. Then I worked two full time jobs.
Two jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You had kids at home still.
All four kids at home.
All four children.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we really had to shift gears. And the kids did a marvelous job. It really, as awful as what we were going through was, it really caused their character to really shine and develop and come to the light. So, here we are. Let's see. It's 2019. That was 18 years ago. We're marching on. All four kids graduated college with honors. They're very successful human beings. They're really my absolute treasures.
You and David are inspirational to anybody.
Well, thank you. But you know who I give credit for that to.
Absolutely
the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sustainer and the most faithful anchor anyone could hope to have.
I agree with that. There may be people who don't, but
right.
I certainly do. And I admire your courage as the
woman who
had to pick up the ball.
Right. Right.
And then go forth.
Yeah.
And but David was there to support you.
He was. And his absolute primary gifting is encouragement and exhortation. And he is so good. You know, every meal he eats is the best meal he's ever had in his life. His forte is thankfulness and gratitude. And he just creates that atmosphere in our relationship, in our home. Constantly, his vocation has become prayer. He'll wake up in the middle of the night and pray for just, really, to me, the most random relationship we might have, but he's prompted to do so, and so we pray. And
does he wake you up?
Oh, absolutely.
And so you pray together.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Dana, that's even more inspirational. What can I say? I'm going to shout out real quick. David, I admire you, buddy. You are an inspiration. Your whole family is. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Now, you left Cookeville Regional.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. You're still working, I know.
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh. And you travel.
I do. So, back in the tenure of Phil Bredesen, there was a legislation developed for long-term care in the state of Tennessee. This should make every Tennessean so proud. We really take care of our poor and our disabled in health care for long-term care. So he set into motion a program called the Choices Program. And it is managed now. Initially, the first 5 years, it was not managed by a managed care organization. But 5 years into it, TennCare made a turn, made some decisions regarding the management of that program. It was called the Home and Community-Based Waiver Program. It's a carve-out of federal funds. not to get too technical, but anyway, it's called the Choices Program, and we serve people that are elderly and disabled, and provide services for them either in the nursing home or, more importantly, in their home to surround them so they can age out at home. It's a very proactive, pro-aging.
So how did you become a part of that?
There's a financial eligibility for that, through 10 Care. But if you don't have 10 Care and are interested, you can call the local area agency on aging and disability and ask for a screening for Choices. So it's a really fascinating program. It saves the state a lot of money because we all know the expense of nursing home care. But people, I want to age out at home. I want to be at home with in my surroundings with my things and family. Not that the nursing home care that we have the highest quality nursing homes in our area. I've been to a lot of them now across the state. But people would like to age out at home if they possibly can. So this affords them the opportunity to do that. And I have seen the most remarkable human beings in the program. You know, they're all, like David, they're all fighters and survivors.
Oh, they have to be.
Yes, the most independent little ladies and gentlemen that you could ever know. Amazing people that I've been able to meet along the way.
So you work for the state then?
I work for a company, United Healthcare.
Okay.
And we are an MCO or a managed care organization. There's also AmeriGroup, and there's also Blue Care.
Okay.
So the three companies work across the state.
To provide care for choices.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really neat.
It's a great program.
I hope
our listeners find this fascinating because I really didn't know what you were doing. I knew you were still in the healthcare business. I just didn't know what.
And
I've been trying to get you on my show for how long?
A long time. But I've been doing it for 9 years, and I started out as a care coordinator who actually visits the people in their home, and then I became a manager, and I had a team of care coordinators, and now I'm an HSD, a health service director, and I implement special projects, so I work with people across the state.
So you're not doing nursing per se?
It's case management, which nurses will know exactly what that means. So it's surrounding an individual with the services and benefits that they need so that they can live independently, as independently as possible.
And the state covers the expense.
They do, yes.
Wow. I was not aware of this.
Yeah.
And it's called Choices.
Because Medicare, remember, this is a Medicaid program.
Yes, this is a Medicaid.
Medicare does
not
have a Medicare long-term care benefit. There is no benefit for long-term care with Medicare.
Yeah, almost. Those of us who are on Medicare wish there were, I suppose, after hearing about this. But, you know, and who knows whether we will have it by the time our children, especially our grandchildren, if the Lord allows us to live here for any length of time, there may not even be Medicare.
The future is uncertain, but we know who holds that in his hand. So I just have to keep that in my vision and keep focused on that.
Yes, in today's world, you've got to have a hope.
Absolutely.
At least I think that. You've got to have a hope. Talking with, Dana Rogers Bailey, that I've watched grow up into a beautiful, mature, courageous. I still think she's a young woman, and you
well,
are.
Well, thank you.
Dana.
I'll take it.
You better take
this
it.
This granny will take it.
So how old is your oldest grandchild?
Milo is 9. Millie is 7. Liam is 5. And then I have 3 that are within 6 months of each other. Laurel is 1.5. Moses is 1.5. And Judah is our baby, and he is 1.
Gosh, I love these names. These are not common
names.
Aren't
those fun?
They are fun, but you got them down pat.
I do. I had to think about it, though, for a minute.
Yeah, I watched your mind work. I watched the screws going around in your head, you know, whatever call it. Screws, not screws. What'd you call that, Dana? Help
gears?
Me. Gears, yeah. The gears going around. Oh, this has been so much fun. I'm so glad you finally found time.
Yes, thank you for inviting me. It's been a delight.
Well, yeah. Thank you for being here. Thank you, folks, for listening. It's been a joy to talk with Dana for me today. Hope it has for you. A little on the inspirational side, but hey, everybody needs a little inspiration on a Monday anyway. So have a great rest of the night, and we'll talk with you and to you next week. See you later.